Continuing on with practical applications, holiness for housewives.
So, you know, Karen, you were talking about before about the, you know, how you would use time in the car or whatnot to make sure that the children had memorized certain prayers because they become foundational, right? When you're nervous, it's easy to pray a Hail Mary. When you're distressed, it's easy to pray an Our Father. When somebody dies, it's almost instinctive for the Catholic to offer an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be for the soul. And I love this quote that Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton has, which I know that I'm going to destroy, that says, because I think that memorization, particularly in our generation, maybe now it's making a little bit of a comeback, but in our generation, it was almost a dirty word. We're like, oh, you know, oh, rote memorization. How terrible, how terrible, how terrible. And yet Chesterton would say something along the lines of that memorization, that children never grow tired of repetition, right? Because they're not old. Every single time that they hear it, they can feel the joy in it again, right? It never grows tiresome for them. So, you know, I think back to my mom, you know, the easiest way to learn nursery rhymes was, you know, to put it into song. And the church has so many beautiful prayers that the children, when they're little, are like little sponges, that those times are prudently used by a mother who, you know, who doesn't mind repeating over and over again these beautiful prayers. You know, I think that that's why the rosary, why the Blessed Mother gave it to us in the form that she gave it to us in, right? Because she knew that it was supposed to be the words of children talking to their mother. And what does a child do but repeat over and over and over again? And like I was saying before, you know, to enter into God, entered into relationship with us as daddy, as Abba, not just, you know, some, you know, kind of like master or, you know, a master servant relationship. No, with father and child, this very beautiful relationship. And the more childlike that we keep our heart in terms of prayer, the more that we will be able to engage him in every moment. It will be intuitive to be present to him.
Sure. So I know, as I recollect very, very briefly here, as a young mother and wife, I wanted to teach my family the treasures of the faith. And I knew me personally first. So we're talking about frameworks here. So this was my system of prayer, not necessarily anyone else's. I knew I would not be able to track with an exterior prescribed set of prayers or actions and that sort of thing. And because I did not rely on that help, I had to become more diligent and not less. And so that inspired me to learn more about the faith, because I knew it would have to be more from me. And that broader knowledge base has, for me, served me very, very well, served our family well. But that's just a particular application of broader principles.
You know, I know that I've said it before on this show, but I think that it bears repeating, otherwise I wouldn't. But anyway, I think that, you know, it's obvious that Christ loved his mother, because the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are our job title. I mean, that is our curriculum vitae, you know. So anytime that we are engaging in the works of our particular vocation, as long as we are in a spirit of recollection, meaning that, you know, obviously, you know, you would drive yourself crazy to keep thinking, oh, I'm in God's presence. And that's not what we're talking about. It's an awareness, an overall awareness. It's like like what we were saying before, the prayer, the Umbralino, is that what you call that? So it's almost the same kind of thing, but not so much a prayer, but it's an awareness of, a cocoon that you live in. You live in this cocoon of grace, and everything is given over to the Lord. And to really have recourse to a morning, just a moment of recollection in the morning of putting your time and your day into our Lord's hand, offering to him all of your good works, apologizing in advance for any mistakes that you're going to make, and then at night doing that examine, right? That momentary examine where just for a moment you do a quick overlooking of a flashback of your day, thanking God for the graces that he gave you, apologizing for shortnesses of temper or misuses of speech or, you know, rash judgments, whatever. I mean, that very quick moment, because that is how that's what he longs for, right? Is for us to just be in this cocoon of grace with him, always aware of the fact that at any moment, all of the things that we're doing are exactly what we're supposed to be doing at that moment.
I'm going to tack on, that's exactly what Sarah just said, was the protocol or the framework. We're going with that word, the framework of prayer that this mom used. She's a young mom. She has a very large family, and she also works full time. And so I asked her, I said, okay, what is your framework? And she said she has a morning devotion. She's currently reading Imitation of Christ, but it's something of a substance like Brother Lawrence suggested, right? That's not a trivial, it's not a trivial read. And along with her coffee, and she says she has only 10 minutes to get that done. So that's back again to what Sarah said, right? The Lord knows the time that our vocation allows for, and he blesses that abundantly. And she's realized at this moment, it has to be done in the morning or it never gets done. Sarah said three in the morning for her is when it gets done. That's particular to Sarah, and that's, God is so good with them. And she goes on to say, lunch is a moving target. But when the kids go to school, that's a hard time. And then she said for night prayer, they tried rosaries and long and short prayers, and none of that stuck at this time. So now, as what Sarah said, they can all gather together and they thank Jesus for today. They say Our Father and Hail Mary, so the memorization is there. And then they go around and they have to all participate, including the parents, those things they are thankful for and those things that they are sorry for. And that's what Sarah said. That's the act of contrition, where you're just you're examining your day, and where we have been mean to our brothers or sisters, or generous to them, that's their framework. And they learn to say they're sorry. And then she stressed that Mass every Saturday or Sunday, and of course holy days, are very, very important in the family.
I think part of the problem too that we have now is that growing up, everyone for the past 40 years has grown up in a world that is so disconnected and so uprooted from our faith and from traditions that would have been so intuitive. You know, it would have been intuitive to pray the Angelus at noon. You know, no one would have even thought anything about it. I mean, yeah, there are great paintings that just even show this ongoing piety, right, that now just seems quaint. But there is a gentle awareness that has been built into the liturgy of the hours for the church. And that at any moment, you know, that you can, you know, especially because we're such people who live by a clock, you know, we're so bound by time, days, calendars, you know, we've locked ourselves into this very harsh rhythm, but with none of the grace, you know, punctuality, tock, 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 you know, everything has got to be done by a certain time. And yet there's no peace in it. And yet in the calendar of our Lord, in the rhythms of the church, in the liturgy of the hours, those sung prayers, there is peace to be found there. You know, it's never supposed to be a rush you know, these days, the way that our Lord has divided up time for us, it wasn't so that we would watch the sand dissipate and the days disappear, right? It was to give us kind of an anchor.
That's right. All right, my friends, that kind of rounds out a little bit. As I think of it, I do have an addendum. I pulled up two of the reviews off of Amazon, one Catholic, one from a Protestant, and I thought that they were overall had some worthwhile thoughts, and you can avail yourselves of that if you care to. All right, my friends. Sarah, is there anything else we need to take up with in the next in another episode? Are we good?
I don't think I have anything immediately here. So.
All right, my friends. Well, this has just been a pleasure. It's something Sarah, you know, was very right that we need to, again, understand, appreciate, promote the holiness, the Catholic ethos within the home. Because that is where the Garden of Grace will be found, and this Catholic Reformation for our time begin. All right, my friends. Till the next time, Fide Sobratio.